Everybody say choices. Come on, let's say it again. Choices. That's what we began talking about last week. We're going to continue to do today. Let me greet all of our campuses that are joining with us. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. And every week, I get the opportunity to share the Word of God, not just here at the North Campus, but at all the campuses. I'm glad you're there today. I know you've already had a time of worship. And now we're going together into the Word of God to see what God can say to us about how that we go about making the choices that are right and that can bring abundance into our life. Before we do that, let's make our confession together. Take your Bible or whatever you've got the Word of God on, and let's say this together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. So take that Word of God that's life-changing, and let's go to the Old Testament book of Jonah for today. We begin there last week. Now, Jonah is one of those minor prophets that's listed toward the back of the Old Testament. So if you're in the New Testament, start going left and you'll find it, okay? It's kind of hidden in there, about 3 pages is all there is to it. But the book of Jonah gives us the whole aspect. In fact, let me just kind of bring everybody up to speed from last week. We began last week of looking at the life of Jonah. God speaks to this prophet who's named Jonah. And he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to a place called Nineveh, and I want you to speak against them and to tell them I'm getting ready to destroy them. And Jonah said, you know what? I've heard about Nineveh. I've heard about how evil it is. I've heard about all the bad stuff there. And he said, don't think I want to go. Ever had God tell you something you didn't want to do? Right? And so he runs away. He goes the other direction. He goes down to a place. He goes and boards a boat, the Bible says, headed to a place called Tarshish, which is the exact opposite direction of where God told him to go. And what we find is that his choices got him into a lot of trouble. We were there in the first chapter last week. We'll pick up there and move into the second chapter this week. But what we found last week is that as he's running away from God, he keeps going down. He just keeps going down, 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 down. And he gets into a huge mess. The Bible says that he goes on board this boat. He goes into the bottom of the boat. He starts sleeping. The boat gets on the lake, on the sea there. And the Word of God says that a tremendous storm sent by God comes to destroy this boat. And the Scripture says that all the guys on there, they're praying to their gods, and they're saying, what in the world's going on? And finally, they wake Jonah up and said, come on, pray to your God. And he said, I can't. I can't pray to my God because I'm the reason you're in this mess. Any of you ever had friends get you in a mess, right? And at the end where we left him last week is they said, well, what are we going to do? And he said, well, if you'll throw me overboard, he said, God will stop the storm and you'll be okay. And that's where we left him last week. So I want to pick up in the 17th verse of the first chapter there, and we're going to just go from there right into the second chapter today together. It says, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now, here's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk to you about in over your head. You think Jonah's in over his head? How many of you have ever been in over your head? How many of you felt like the waves were crashing in and you weren't going to, you're just like, what in the world has happened to me? Why are all of these things taking place? Why am I going through this in this moment in which I live? And so often, we have a tendency to blame the devil. Well, the devil did this. The devil made this happen. The devil brought this about. The devil, the devil, the devil. Can I just talk to some of us today? Some of you need to quit giving the devil so much credit. Right? Because here's what I want to tell you, and I don't want to get you in trouble too much, but I'll show you out of Scripture. Sometimes we cause our own problems. Amen? The devil didn't do this to Jonah. In fact, if you read the first chapter, and I messed up some of your theology last week, the first chapter says God sent the storm. all right, to get Jonah's attention. See, sometimes we cause our own problems. In fact, look in chapter 2, verse 1, he said, it goes in there and it says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. How many of you know that sometimes you got to get into a desperate place to reach out to God? Right? And we're going through, life is happening, life's doing good, and then we make some wrong choices. We do some things that are not proper. I told you last week, as I began to do this series, I thought, well, you know, how many decisions do we make today? How many choices are we making? And I thought going into this study that maybe we made a few thousand, 3,000 or 4,000, maybe 5,000. You know, if somebody would have said, well, you make 10,000 a day, I'd say, man, that's really. What I found is researchers that study this kind of thing tell us that we make 35,000 decisions a day. Now think about that. I mean, think about how many choices we make every day. Now most of those are pretty benign. Most of those are not going to change your world, change your life. But there are some of those choices that we make that are really, those decisions in that moment really begin to work in us that is not what we want. And that's what happened in Jonah's life. Here, remember last week I told you, and we won't go through the whole thing, but I told you last week that my decisions determine my direction. Right? My decisions determine my direction. And my direction determines my destination, and my destination determines my destiny. Right? That's what I talked about last week. Well, here's what you've got to understand, is that there's this whole thing in science and mathematics, you study all this, is that there's a thing called cause and effect, right? That certain thing, if you do this, then this is going to happen. Well, it's a biblical principle. The Word of God says in the book of Galatians that we reap what we sow, right? How many of you know that that's a true statement? You reap what we sow. Now, here's what I want to tell you. You don't reap what you think. Right? I've thought a lot of good things. I thought, man, I ought to go bless somebody. But I don't reap that if I don't do it. Am I right? I might think, well, I ought to pray for somebody, or I ought to bless that missionary, or I ought to, well, all that thinking is not going to bring forth the results in my life. In fact, here's what Galatians 6 says. Listen to this. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Now, let me say this. A woman does too. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction, right? Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. You and I, our choices, those decisions that we're making on an everyday basis, we are either sowing to the flesh or we are sowing to the Spirit. And the Word of God says that you've got to understand that whatsoever you sow, that of that kind you are also going to reap. People say, well, Pastor, I didn't know I was going to have that bad of a thing. I didn't know, if I did this, it was going to take that, and on and on and on. Well, listen, let me say this. Ignorance of what you're sowing won't keep you from reaping. Well, I didn't know I was sowing. It doesn't matter. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter that you don't, it's kind of like when they pull you over. Anybody ever been pulled over by the police? I have. In fact, I just saw one of our policemen here who pulled me over a few years ago. I was riding a Harley one day, and he pulled me over. Didn't know it was me. One said, and I pulled my helmet off, and he goes, Pastor, what are you doing? I evidently not the speed limit, all right? Okay? You ever done it? So I didn't know it was 35 and I'm doing 70. Well, the ignorance of the law doesn't matter. You're still going to reap what you sow. Thank God you had mercy on me. I love you. Anyway, here's what you need to understand. Not only do you reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow. Ever found that out? You plant one kernel of corn. You don't get, I mean, how crazy would that be? I'm going to plant one kernel, I'm going to get one back. Hallelujah. I mean, if that's all you got, you just eat it, right? Well, come on. I mean, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I got a few things figured out, people, right? So you're expecting more of a return. Now listen to me. In the positive, in the blessings we have that happen, but also in the negative, those wrong choices we make, just as Jonah has made, is then we begin to see what happens. And what happens in that moment when we've made some wrong choices, we've got to figure out how to get out of it. And the life of Jonah is a really great lesson to us on how that although we've sown wrong and we've done wrong, that you and I now can get back to the place that we need to be. So let's keep looking at this. Verse 2 there, he says, in my distress I called to the Lord and he answered me. Let me say this to you. I don't care where you are, what you've done, what you're going through, God will always answer you. Amen. So he said, in that place God answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead I call for help and you listen to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I mean, can you get this picture? He said, I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Now, here's the first, if we want to get out of this place, we want to get there, the first thing that we've got to do is we've got to acknowledge our sin. All right? The first act that I've got to do. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you have sinned? Look at your neighbor. Come on. If they don't have their hand up, move. Because lightning's going to strike, okay? Right? Here's what the Scripture said. The Scripture says, if you say you're without sin, you're a liar. The Scripture goes on to say, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now here's what I want to say to some of us. I don't like difficulty. I don't like trouble. If somebody's signing up for tribulation, I'm not on that train, right? I'm not one of these guys. That's why I don't like spending a lot of time talking about the end of times. All these guys talking about the end of times and tribulation and all that. I just want to go home, be with Jesus, and forget about it, right? I don't want to talk about all that stuff. But here's what I know. You got to understand this. Our difficulty can drive us to God. Don't miss that. Now, you've got a choice to make, remember? This is all about choices. I can choose in the midst of my problem, just as Jonah is. He's in that place, man, and we really don't take that story into consideration. I remember growing up going to church in Sunday school and hearing the story of Jonah. And this was back, we didn't have iPads, which God bless them, I love them. Mine decided in the first service, as soon as I turned it on and walked up here, to update. So I was blind the whole service, okay, the first service. They're wonderful. But I can remember going to church. How many of you remember flannel graph? Anybody remember having flannel graph in Sunday school, right? Where'd the rest of you go? What's wrong with y'all? Did y'all not go to church? Bunch of heathens. God bless you. We had this thing called flannel graph, and it was they'd take these little pictures and they'd put them on the board and it had some kind of thing held it on the back. And they'd have this picture of Jonah, and they'd have this picture of a whale. And they'd show that, you know, they'd have the whale teacher move the whale, and then it would show Jonah inside the whale. But Jonah still looked the way he did when he was on the seashore. Well, let me help you. There's some junk going on inside the belly of the fish. When you get swallowed by something, all kind of juices begin to operate. I don't want to be crude or rude, but in a minute he's going to talk about it, right? I mean, his clothes are coming apart. His skin's starting to bleach out. He's got a big old piece of something right here stuck to his head, right? I mean, we kind of have the idea, well, he's down there with a latte from Starbucks, and he's in a recliner. No, man, he's in a bad place, right? He's in a place nobody wants to be. But here's what I want to say. No matter where we are, no matter what we've done, God is always there. God is always in the midst of where we are. And what I have to do and what you have to do is in that moment, we have to recognize God's working still, even in the midst of one of those horrible places that we're at. And Jonah gets it. Jonah begins to turn his eyes at that moment on the Lord. Remember that old song we used to sing, turn your eyes upon him and look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Some of us today, I want to tell you, you may feel like you're in the belly of a whale. You may feel like that you have been engulfed. You may feel like, man, I am in over my head. But I want to tell you something today. Even if you are, you can be like Jonah, who says, I feel like I'm about to die. But in that moment, you start remembering his presence. Because the Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy. And the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So when we're in that moment, we're saying, you know what, this choice, that choice, somebody made a wrong choice, I made a wrong choice, I'm in this place, there's a difficulty happening, I'm in a place I don't want to be. In that moment, I can begin to look at my life and I can begin to see what God is doing. Look in verse 5. Verse 5 and 6 says this. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed. I told you, seaweed was wrapped around my head. I told you I had a big something stuck right there. Right? To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. Now, let me go somewhere with some of you, because some of you have not experienced this, but a lot of you have. And that is this. Sometimes it seems like God doesn't care. Ever been there? Come on, how many of you have ever been there? Ever been there? I've been there. You've prayed. You've asked God. God, I need you to. You've read that he's a way maker. You've read that he's a chain breaker. You've read all that stuff. But in the moment, it seems like God's not showing up. You've prayed every prayer you know to pray. You've said every word you know to say. And it's in that moment you're going, come on, God, where are you? I think most of us, everybody listening to me today, if you've lived longer than probably 30 minutes, you've had some kind of an experience that you went, I don't know where God is in this. Hey, you know what? I won't talk about you. I'll talk about me. When that's happened to me at times in my life, I've gotten mad at God. Now, maybe I'm the only one. Maybe you didn't. But I went, come on, God, you said. Your word said that I was positionally healed. Your word said that I was positionally delivered. Your word, but Lord, my experience is not showing that right now. Y'all are nervous, aren't you? I can tell, because I said I got mad at God. If you've not been mad at God, you probably haven't served him very long. Amen? Come on. Have you ever had that moment in your life where you were praying about something and it was something that had to happen by this moment? You know, it had to happen at January the 1st, you know, at midnight, and you were praying for it for 10 months, and on the last minute, right before January 1st, like when the countdown at Times Square is happening, right before the ball drop. Am I the only one? It's like in that last minute, he says, oh, okay, here. And I just go, really? Come on, am I the only one? It's like if you knew you were going to do this, couldn't you come 3 days ago? You knew you were going to make this happen. It was going to. See, here's what we've got to understand, and here's what Jonah had to understand. The belly of a fish is not a good place to live, but it's a great place to learn. You'll learn more in that place than you'll ever learn in the good times. See, sometimes when we run from God, sometimes when we do and make the wrong choices, we find ourselves in some pretty stinky places. Jonah is there. And what we misconstrue and we really don't understand a lot of times in our life, and that is God's delays are not God's denials. The Bible says this. It says, now we see through a glass darkly, but one day we'll see face to face. See, it's in that moment when I don't know where the answer is and I don't know why he hasn't shown up the way that I know that he can and that I know that he should, it's in that moment that I've got to get my eyes off the stinky mess that I'm in, and I've got to say, Lord, let me turn my eyes on you and let me look fully in your wonderful face, because I know it's in that moment that when I can't see your hand, I can always trust your heart. And it's in that place that I have to come. And I want to show you something in Jonah's life. What we don't understand a lot of times is we don't understand in Jonah's life, when he got thrown over the side of that boat, he should have died. But God spared him by preparing a fish to take him in. Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes God prepares some places for you to go through that you don't want to go. See, because I would have, God, if you're going to have him go preach, he's going to do that. You know he's going to do that. Chapter 3 is going to tell us that. Why don't you just take him out of the sea and deposit him on dry land? And he can say, God has delivered me, right? But God says, wait a minute. I've got to let you go through something, because it's as you are going through something that I'm taking you to something. And a lot of us, if we are not careful, we get stuck in going through and we never get to, because we miss out in the moment and we get bitterness down inside of us and we forget that if God is for us, who can be against us? I may be in a stinky place right now. You may look at me and say, man, he looks messed up. He's all bleached out. There's something on his forehead. What in the world is wrong with him? But baby, let me tell you something. I am not going to stay there. I am coming out on the other side. If God is for me, who can be against me? I'm not going to stay down in the pit. I'm not going to stay in the belly of the fish the entirety of my life. I am coming out on the other side. Here's what you got to understand. The fish was God's mercy express for Jonah. Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes the mercy of God looks stinky. Sometimes the mercy of God doesn't look like what we think it ought to look like. We think it ought to be the palace, and God says, no, before you get to the palace, you got to go through the pit. And before you get to the palace, you got to go through Potiphar's house. And before you get through the palace, you got to go through prison. And then there's going to come the day you go to the palace, but you got to go through some refining before I can get you there, because I am working all things together for your good. Amen. Is this making sense? Come on. We've got to learn to and understand how I say this. We've got to learn that wherever we are, that in that moment, we don't think that it's the end. We've heard it said before, don't put a period where God puts a comma. When it looks like everything has, man, I'm in the, and Jonah's there, all these things he's saying, I'm in the belly of the fish, I'm there. In fact, look in verse 7, let's just keep moving. Verse 7, he says, when my life was ebbing away, I'm trying not to preach, but I can't help it. All right. He said, I remembered you, Lord, in my prayer. He said, when my life is gone, I remembered you, and my prayer rose to your holy temple. And then he goes on, and now he starts preaching. Those who cling to worthless idols and turn away from God's love for them. But I, watch what he says. He said, I'm in a stinky place. I'm in a mess. I am in a place that I don't want to be. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Say, come on. You got to acknowledge your sin, but you know what? Here's where you got to come right now. You got to remember your Savior. You got to remember that no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening, here's what I've found a lot, and most of us have found that. When I reach the end of myself, I come to the beginning of God. It's in that moment, it's in that place that I now can begin to see what God can do on my behalf. And I don't like it. I don't like being there. I'd rather everything be nice. I'd rather my bank account be full, pantry full, belly full, right? Everybody healthy, everybody nice, everybody getting along, everybody treating everybody right. But I have found that trials get my attention. Amen. They just have a way of laser focusing me in that moment and going, whoa, I thought all this stuff, but wait a minute. This is what's important. Now, I want to say something to you, and again, you've heard me say, I don't like tribulation. In fact, when people tell me, you know my personality, people tell me, Lord, Pastor, I'm praying for you to have patience. I tell them, stop it. In fact, if any of you are doing, cut it out. Any of you watching, stop it. Don't pray for me to have patience, because here's what the Bible says. The Bible says tribulation worketh patience. I don't want tribulation. All right? That word tribulation means trouble. I don't need a bunch of trouble. So if you're praying for me to have patience, quit. Just learn to live with me the way I am. Okay? But here's what we have to understand. There's something that we need to know. And I put this, as I was preparing this several months ago, I got to thinking about this, and that is, suffering shows us our mortality. See, you can't understand love if you've never been hated. You can't ever know what sweet is until you've had the bitter. You can't ever know what true acceptance is unless you've been rejected. But in that moment, see, a lot of us, we look at the rejection and we say, well, they rejected me because of my skin color, or they rejected me because of the sex I am, or they rejected me because of where I was born, or they rejected me. Wait a minute. That rejection, understand this, people, that rejection becomes sweet when you come unto the Lord, who is able to bear you up, and no matter what happens to you, He's going to wrap His arms around you. And He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, cast your cares on me. And I can't understand that unless I've experienced the trials of life. I don't know what it's like to really enjoy driving a new car unless all I've had is old clunkers. But boy, if I have had the clunker and then one day I get the good one, it's like, glory to God, don't touch it. Keep your hands off of it. Don't you eat in this car. Right? Come on. You know what I'm talking about? See, here's what we have to understand about this whole process here, is that when God's mercy shows up, it causes us to be thankful. That's what's happening here. Jonah's beginning to understand that God's mercy is working. And so because in that moment he understands the mercy of God, he begins to thank God. He said, even in the midst of this stinky, deadly place that I'm in, I'm going to shout the praises of God. Amen. There's a scripture that says that you're to give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. And we've had that misquoted. We've had that preached wrong, I think. We'd have people say, you know, no matter what it is, you're to thank God that it happened. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture does not say thank God for it. It said thank God in it. Right? If I get sick today, I'm not going to say, well, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But I'm still going to serve Jesus. I'm going to thank Him in it. Right? So mercy brings that thanksgiving. Obedience delivers salvation. When I come to that moment, it's Jonah. Jonah's whole, you remember, he's running from God. But did you hear what he said? He said, Lord, I'm going to pay the debt that I owe. He said, I made a vow and I'm going to pay it. What he's saying is, Lord, if you get me out of this mess, I'm going to do what I need to do. Look in verse 10. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it politely regurgitated. Y'all see it on the screen? And it vomited Jonah on the dry land. I don't think it was pretty. Come on. There's enough of you who are listening to me who you had a Saturday night that lasted too long that hung over the commode on Sunday morning, and you know when somebody gets into that state, it ain't pretty. Right? And this whale, this big fish, whatever it was God created, he comes forth. 3 days and three nights, the Bible says, in the dark. Can you imagine? The consequences from the disobedience in his life have wreaked havoc. But I want to tell you, in that moment that he's gone through, and in the moment that you and I have experienced, where it's the dark night that settles in on our soul, all of a sudden something begins to happen to us, and no longer are we singing a song. We are now testifying, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now it's not a, we're not singing now. Right? Come on, you ever been there? It doesn't matter. It can be Willie Nelson singing it and you'll get saved. Right? Because in that moment, you realize what God's grace is. In fact, let me tell you this. God's grace is outrageous. Now, somebody needs to hear that today. God's grace is outrageous. It's so bigger, much bigger than you are. It's so much greater than the worst thing you've ever done. We stand on this side of eternity and we point our finger and we make our judgment calls and we say this and that about one another, but God stands in the eternal now and he looks at us and he looks through the blood of Jesus Christ and he said, they are redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but they have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. And the devil shows up to accuse and to say, look what they've done. But Jesus stands up on my behalf. Come on. When I am in that moment where I have blown it, I have made the decision that has wrecked everything, I have turned my world upside down, and I'm in the stinkiest place I've ever been, I go before God, and he does not look at me. He looks at the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. And he looks at the blood that Jesus Christ shed. And the devil's hollering guilty. And Jesus is saying forgiven. And the mercy of God says forgotten. He takes your sins. Don't miss it. The Bible says he takes your sins and he puts them as far as the east is from the west, never to remember them against you anymore. How can an all-knowing God forget? Because he wants to. Because he chooses to. The omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent one says, when you accept what my son did on the cross, I will remember your sins and your trespasses no more. Jonah is getting ready to have a hallelujah moment. The choices he's made, we're going to look at it next week, the choices he's made have taken him to a place that he did not want to go. But it's in that place where he did not want to go that God was able to do a work in him that is now going to release him into his destiny to proclaim to a city the word and the will of God. See, here's what I want to say to you today. When you're over your head, here's what you need to do. First of all, have I acknowledged my sin? Have I said, Lord, the word sin, we don't need to get all freaked out. You know, we think sin, we think murder and all those big, wait a minute. The word sin just means to miss the mark. Miss the mark. We've all missed the mark, right? So have I acknowledged that? Have I acknowledged my sin to God? Secondly, have I called out to God? See, a lot of us, we get in that place, and instead of, we look and we say, oh, I've made such a mess, and well, I just might as well lay here. Good Lord, no, stop it. Hear pastor today. Let me come into your world and just for a minute grab you by the shoulders and just shake you real good. Just because you've messed up, just because you found your place in the belly of a fish that you don't want to be in, let me shake you today and say, don't stay there. Call out to God. And lastly, have you decided to obey? See, here's the deal. You can get forgiveness today, and God will cleanse you today, but you need to make a decision. You're going to live for God tomorrow. because we don't need to just keep repeating this over and over and over again. Jonah had to come to the place that he said, Lord, you get me out of this mess, and I will do what I have vowed to do. Let me say this as I close. Some of you listening to me today, some of you watching today, it is time for you to make a choice. You're in a stinky place. You're in a place that is not good. But God is able in this moment to reach into your world, and His outrageous grace reaches to you and says, I am your Father and you are my child. And I love you with a never-ending love. And if you'll choose me, I'll turn your world right side up. Amen.